Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to episode 26 of FTM for Trans Men. I am your host, Aiden Xavier McCool, and I'm going to take a cue from Hailstorm today. We're about to get a little uncomfortable. Yes, I just went there. Why? Because it worked and it was adorable. I just feel like doing that today. Speaking of being adorable, yeah, I'm not wearing any makeup. It's just one of those days. I am just too tired for it. Zindel, I mean, I didn't always put on makeup and get all dolled up whenever I was presenting as hyper female. So why the fuck should that change now? Okay, so it seems that abortion and reproductive rights are an ever present debate in American society. Who can get one? Who can't? Why you shouldn't? Why it's one's choice instead? Why you should mind your own damn business? Ways to combat unwanted pregnancies, both positively and negatively. The debate has evolved over the decades, and isn't that just an odd thing to think about? That has been going on for decades now. Probably longer than that, I wouldn't be surprised. So thanks to a post teeming with spelling errors and grammatical errors galore, claiming that men are unbiased about the bodies of uterus owners, the debate is alive and well on some Facebook feeds once again. Now part of me can't help but think that this might be another attempt by foreign agents trying to sow dissent in American society, and if that's so, kind of backfired. We have been divided on the topic of abortion and reproductive rights for longer than most of us have been alive, than most of us alive today can remember, or some of us even want to admit. So there's really no way one could cause any more division or dissent there, yet it has opened up dialogue for a number of different parts of the argument. For starters, we've begun to acknowledge that cis women are not the only ones who have a vagina or a uterus. Looking at you, vagina monologues. Yeah, that's right, I said it. This may come as a shock to most of you, but I have a vagina. Yeah, that's right, I said it on air. I am a man with a vagina. I was born with one. I still have one. I intend on keeping mine for the time being. Oh, and just so I can get the squeamish and bigoted one more time, man with a vagina. Couldn't resist. Love doing that. Trans men and AFAB NBs or non-binary individuals who are assigned female at birth. They're parts of the audience that are not too up to date on terminology are now educated once again. We have the ability to give birth if we so choose, and it is our right and decision to do so. There should be nothing odd about the fact that there should be nothing disgusting or hated about either. It should actually be celebrated. Think about it. A couple can give birth to a child biologically, and honestly, a cis woman is not necessarily involved. Hell, that argument about one man, one woman was defeated how many decades ago with artificial insemination, surrogate parents, adoption. Oh god, not that, anything but that. We're tearing the fabric once again. I have to agree with Wirst on this. Why is it always fabric? Why can't it be tinfoil or aluminum foil or paper or smashing a wall or something? Well, no, that's the patriarchy, so I mean, I guess that's already taken. You guys get what I mean. Or, you know, ripping or tearing a candy bar in half. Okay, I'd kind of like that because maybe I would eat the candy bar then, but I'm getting off topic. There should be nothing odd about it. It should be celebrated, and honestly, before anyone comes at me with a basic biology statement, may I ask where you were when you were learning about male seahorses during earth science? You can't tell me you didn't learn the bare basics about marine life at any point in your education. Come on, you cannot tell me that. I mean, even if it is Catholic school or Christian school funded or whatever, it had to be something along the lines of Jesus gave us male seahorses and they can give births without mommies, and isn't that just special and wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, it's got to be something along those lines. Anyway, this point has been made by myself, by Marissa, Callie, and other countless trans podcasters more than once. We are not a sum of our parts. Simply because I was assigned female at birth, it does not mean that I am permanently confined to identifying as female for life. It's also not necessary that I get any surgeries to prove this to anyone else who doesn't agree with me. They say that I'll always be female, that nothing will ever change that. Okay, by that very same logic, you'll always be an asshole, Dennis, and nothing will ever change that. See? See? Doesn't sound so wise or kind when it's used against you, does it? Maybe the idea is uncomfortable for some because it goes against our ingrained views on human biology and gender roles. Maybe it might be because I am not the only man or trans mask person on Earth born with a vagina. There's thousands upon thousands of us. And some of us are older than the others, too. Maybe it might be a mixture of both. And keep in mind that this applies to those of us living in the States, as I cannot fully speculate on the political views of our international audience. It might be both, and the fact that it goes against the Christian party line. Now, hang on a second. Let's be honest, let's not be coy. Seeing as non-secular interests and political influence are becoming more solidly intertwined with one another, and the division between church and state affairs is becoming more blurred, I think it's fair to start referring to that particular sect of aggressors and influencers with non-secular agendas what they are, and that's a political party, or a PAC group at least. I wouldn't go as far as saying that's the Republican Party, because although a majority of Republicans may toe the Christian Party line very, very heavily and far more often than others, there are still a lot of Republicans that are secular, that know better than that. Yes, they're few and far between, but come on, let's at least have them keep a tiny, itty bitty little shred of respect, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they deserve it either, but still, let's get beyond the point. Okay. The idea that a trans man or a trans masculine individual can give birth and carry a child to birth, child to birth, oh my God, carry a child to term while identifying as a non-binary or male contradicts with the idea of a, quote, traditional marriage, or, the old one man, one woman as God intended, or, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Oh, go jerk yourselves off. I'm so tired of hearing those arguments. It ruins their worldview and their hold on things, and honestly, it just won't do. Oh, it just won't do at all. No, these crazy, crazy trans men that are just so confused about their identities. Oh, God, not that. Much like their hold and position on abortion. Now, one shouldn't get one because it's a sin against God, because the unborn go to purgatory, or this is according to Catholicism at least, because you'll go to hell. All terrible consequences, of course. But at least they're trying to combat abortion rates and unwanted pregnancies by teaching abstinence-only sex ed, right? I'd love to say so, if it didn't result in lack of sex ed in committed or married couples, unsafe sex practices. Higher rates of STIs, far more pregnancies than they probably both want. And hardly any change in abortion rates. Let's be honest, you can teach abstinence only as much as you want or until you're blue in the face, but human nature will always contradict that. You can try and scare someone away from doing something as much as you want. That doesn't necessarily mean that it will keep them away from it forever. That's just not how it works. That's not how human nature works, no matter how hard you try. But that's not to say that anything outside of abstinence-only sex ed is any better. Our education system is a joke in general. It's woefully whacking. Whacking. Yep, it's whacking, all right. Oh my god. It is woefully lacking as far as sex ed goes, if it's taught at all. Sexual education is not universally taught in all 50 states here. It's not even necessarily taught universally in parts of the same states. Sometimes the education is far better than other places if it's taught at all. For example, my own education, I kind of got lucky. I learned a lot. The anatomy of both the male and female sex organs, what an orgasm was, what masturbation was, what STIs were. I'm going to try and stay away from STDs since it's not a disease. It's just an infection of sorts. I mean, come on. Let's look at, herpes. I mean, you can get them on your face. They're cold sores. Let's be honest about this. However, I didn't learn everything. I didn't learn how fertilization could still happen without vaginal sex having to be involved, or how STIs were contracted. I had to do my own research, or I had to go into the particular field I did while I was in college. I didn't learn any of that while I was in school. Most adults and a lot of children are worse off in the U.S. today, either having less education than I did or absolutely none at all, which is extremely dangerous and predicated on the beliefs of a school system or those who are in charge of the school board. Can you imagine that? One's education and worldview predicated on the whims of Karen down the street who has that "may I speak to your manager" haircut. Can you imagine that? I can't. How funny is that? I can't, and yet it happens every day here. And moving on. It's still not completely clear why the United States is not investing in better sexual education or universal sexual education or better access to abortion clinics or Planned Parenthood. I'll come back to Planned Parenthood, just hang on a second, or various methods of family planning, birth control mostly, aside from non-secular influences blocking the way for this investment. There's also tons of advocation from professionals, interest groups, and the public at large, yet we get the exact opposite. In some states, one has to wait between 48 to 72 hours before getting a procedure done. Other states force the carrying parents to see an ultrasound of the fetus before being considered for a procedure. They'll hand you a pamphlet and everything. You actually have to look at the fetus and see it to be considered to get an abortion. Can you believe that amount of guilt tripping? Most states also spread misinformation regarding abortions, as I just said. Wild lies like health risks to the parents or risks of infertility later in life, how the fetus can feel pain at a specific amount of weeks, or, as has been happening in certain parts, cities, and states in the United States already, introducing heartbeat bills claiming that a fetus is in fact alive and has an active heart at, I think, the most common amount of time I've heard is 18 weeks. Therefore, considering the fetus alive and considering abortions to be manslaughter, which means that clinics are either forbidden from doing so, mostly, or that doctors will not do it because that's manslaughter, they will have their license revoked and they will be charged with manslaughter. let me see, where was I? Yes, I am reading off of this. Hey, if I didn't have it written down, I would be rambling. I know some people like that. I'm trying to be a little more professional since I'm doing this weekly. There we go. In some areas, clinics are clear on the other side of a state. This happens in, I believe that's been happening in Oklahoma. I have talked to a trans man that has to go across the state line into Florida just to go to Planned Parenthood for his informed consent. And that's where I was going to get back to Planned Parenthood on. Planned Parenthood does not just do abortions. They do a lot of other essential medical procedures and services like breast cancer screenings for women, providing birth control for women, doing informed consent for trans men, trans women, and non-binary individuals transitioning one way or the other. sometimes they could even do simple testing or vaccinations. These are very vital things that are provided for lower cost than a regular doctor's office will provide, or maybe at none. I'm not necessarily sure on the cost. However, I do know that Planned Parenthood is a vital part of almost any community. Let's not have rose-colored glasses about our society. Yes, we were once the greatest nation in the world, at least economically, but it hasn't been that way for a very long time, and it's getting worse. So there are a lot of people who are doing without or have to travel very far just in order to get these things done. This is not good. And this is happening just because of the stigma tied to Planned Parenthood and abortion, especially regarding that fake or the doctored tapes, recordings, and transcripts regarding the harvesting and selling of aborted fetuses for their parts. Yes, for those of you outside of the U.S., if you never heard of it, yes, someone actually went that far once. People are disgusting and desperate as far as stopping abortions go. But don't worry, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second. In the United States, there is heavy rhetoric against pro-choice sentiment. Anything from doctored tapes and conversation transcripts, as I just described, or the excruciatingly graphic photos of aborted human fetuses are made public, used to scare or shock or guilt the American public against getting an abortion. Any of those who live in central Pennsylvania, specifically around the Harrisburg area, know what I'm talking about. I know that the blowing up of large photos of aborted human fetuses to scare people is done nationwide, but there's one particular house or building or business or whatever where they have them on display, and aside from hateful, terrible pro-life, pro-Christian messages about how you will go to hell and burn in eternal hellfire, and how you should feel guilty because you got an abortion, how selfish are you? They have those giant photos, and you drive by them, and I cannot tell you how many times I have had to avert my eyes. I am personally pro-choice because it is not for me to tell anyone else how to live their life unless they are actively trying to hurt me. That is the only time I will step in. But it is your body. You have bodily autonomy. I will absolutely never tell you or anyone else that you should or should not get an abortion. That is your choice, not mine. It is not only graphic and extremely unfair, but I think abusive to show those kind of images. How I had to turn my face away as best I could or would not even look in that direction because I did not want to see another bloody mass sitting right there trying to guilt me out of something. That is not fair. That is just downright low. That is a low hit below the belt. And they know it. Again, I get off topic because this still pisses me off, but yet, for these people who shriek the loudest for pro-life and the protection of the fetus, once they see that the child has been carried to term, they turn. Most of these people can no longer be bothered by this child they so strongly advocated to live. They are no longer concerned with their health or their welfare. They tell you you can't get an abortion, you should carry it to term, all life is sacred. And once the child is born and the parent or parents are struggling because they couldn't afford it economically, or they can't get assistance, or they're running out of food, because let's face it, having a child in the United States is very expensive nowadays. These same people that advocated to have the child carried to term now turn. No! Now how dare you sap off of my hard-earned taxpayer money? I'm not going to support you. Well, why don't you just go get a job? And it's strange because they too should know exactly how hard it is for most families, and I'm not just talking about lower income or poorer, middle class is being affected as well as upper middle class. The ship is sinking quickly, and that should not go unnoticed. That as terrible as things are going, aside from those that are either well-off, rich, or the top percent elite, it is a hard thing to do. Anyway, it seems that, at least here in the United States, that argument for pro-life only goes so far. There is a disregard over the health and rights of the carrying parents, And yes, I'm saying caring parent instead of mother, just because we just had this discussion. Men and transmasculine non-binary individuals are uterus owners too. It's not just women anymore. The fact that each human being has a right to their own bodily autonomy. If you're not familiar with that term, that is the right that each human the world over has to either have a procedure done, to have the consent to donate your organs, to carry a child if you so choose. Absolutely no one can force you to do that. I never read the book, but I'm going to assume that that was the focal point of My Sister's Keeper. I do remember that debate, and I heard about the ending, and God, did it piss me off. But yes, I'm going to assume that one of the characters does sue over their bodily autonomy rights. No one can force you to surrender parts of your body or to do anything to your body that you do not want. This, of course, includes carrying a child to term. Lovely legal lesson there, right? Anyway, what was I? The fact that each human being has a right to their own bodily autonomy is not even mentioned. For those who are staunchly or almost militant towards being pro-life, one has no choice but to carry a child to term, whether the parent or the couple wants to or not, whether the pregnancy is due to a violent sexual crime or not, whether this may put the caring parents or the fetus or both at great health risk or not. It seems to me as if those who yell the loudest and the politicians that agree with them proudly, if they had their way, no one would ever get an abortion, and wouldn't that just be wonderful? Yet, there's a glowering asterisk to that comment. Now, yeah, we hear about it every now and then, but it's rare now to hear more steadily about a standard extramarital scandal, aside from a cis white male politician saying that he is absolutely not gay and then being caught with, unfortunately, a young boy and then having to leave office. This we rarely hear while a politician, or at least an American politician, is in office. And if American politicians had their way completely, they'd happily keep their dirty laundry as far back in the proverbial closet as they could. But where it's rare to find modern evidence of their dirty dealings, there are still historical records. Gray ink on yellowed paper. Sure, a little hard to read after so many decades, but still legible. Now, this will be long-winded, but I have a point. Stick with me on it, okay? There's a book that I've been rereading recently called The Blue Orchard by Jackson Taylor. It was published 10 years ago, but I really don't think it got too much notice outside of central Pennsylvania, which is the book's setting. It follows the story of a woman, Verna Crone, who is subjected to sexual assault by her first employer when she was a teenager. As a result of this, she becomes pregnant and voluntarily gets an abortion or miscarries. Your definition on whether she got depends on your view of it and your view of her symptoms afterwards. Either way, it had some adverse effects on her body immediately afterwards. Through luck and connections later in life, she becomes a nurse and ends up working alongside Dr. Crampton, who was a rich and influential black man closely tied to the Republican Party in Pennsylvania, and then Governor Harvey Taylor. For my listeners in central Pennsylvania, if you're not already familiar, and when I say central Pennsylvania, I mean the Harrisburg, Carlisle, Lancaster, Lebanon areas. For those of you that aren't necessarily familiar already, maybe that long-ass bridge over the Susquehanna River between Camp Hill and Harrisburg now sounds a little familiar. That's who that bridge is named after. And Forrester Street was a complete neighborhood. I believe they called that the 7th Ward. Nothing but housing for black families living in Harrisburg. Completely wiped out just to make way for this 4-lane road with a long-ass bridge all the way over from Camp Hill to Harrisburg. Yeah, real peach, wasn't he? I digress. Dr. Crampton provided medical services to lower income or poor black families in the area, charging whatever the family or the individual could pay. But this wasn't all that he did. He had a secret business that remained a secret up until the mid-1950s when he was arrested. He was also an abortion doctor for white women. And before you ask, no, he did not perform abortions on black women. He sent them to a colleague of his. It was only white women. Now is a good time to point out that no, this is actually not necessarily a work of fiction. Not entirely. Mrs. Crone and Dr. Crampton were people who had lived in the Harrisburg area during the mid-20th century. And yes, they were both arrested for their activities in 1954. Dr. Crampton was actually a vice chair of the Pennsylvania Republican Committee. If this weren't intriguing or scandalous enough, remember that he had performed abortions on white women only. So taking all of this information, it is very easy to assume, and according to records, accurate, that Dr. Crampton's patients were inexplicably tied to the powerful and rich in the state at the time. That's right, the girlfriends, the mistresses of politicians from all over the state, and from what I understand, Washington, D.C. as well, were referred to Dr. Crampton. So spare me the arguments on family values and no abortions and a pro-life all the way. My long and drawn out point being that some things never change. And no, we're not so stupid to think that those in power now or some that yell the loudest against pro-choice are not guilty of hypocrisy themselves. Yes, in the digital age, it's easy to obscure and bury information. But how much has human nature changed in the past 60 years, almost 70? How much has it changed in the past 100 years? How much has it changed since we first evolved into what we are now, or even our closest ancestor? I wouldn't say by very much. I also recommend The Blue Orchard. I've read it through once years ago, and I'm rereading it again and realizing exactly how much of a gripping book it is. It also helps me to realize that even though this took place between the late 30s and early 50s, our grasp on sexual education has not changed at all as a nation. It has expanded a little bit, and we've added more information, but obviously there's still a problem. How many babies are abandoned? How many more mistreated? I can't tell you how many I'd heard of that were newly born and were just discarded entirely while I was living in Pennsylvania. All because people were scared or didn't understand or didn't have the proper tools. A human life discarded like that because they weren't ready or they couldn't do it or they didn't want to. But I don't think it's fair to necessarily place entire blame on the parents. As I said before, we all have bodily autonomy. No one can force you to do something with your body that you do not want to or consent to. However, that is also still a defenseless human life that depends on nurturing and guidance and protection until it can fend for itself. It is a gray area, and I am never, never fond of hearing about stories like that. But instead of placing blame on one person or the other, or even the education system, maybe this might be a better opportunity to instead advocate for far better education, far better access to clinics that can provide not only vital health services for the community at large, but could also perform safe and effective abortions, saving lives. There has to be something else because the way that our system is working now is not good. I hear about how wonderful the programs are in Sweden, in parts of the Netherlands. You'll have to forgive me, international audience. I honestly forget at the moment, but I know there is one of your countries that provides an expecting mother or an expecting couple with a box of basic necessities. The box you can have the newborn in until until it outgrows it, or until you're able to find proper bedding for the infant, clothing, basic necessities. Those are not things that are provided by the United States government at all. It's more of a, to quote one of the more infamous sayings by one of our wonderful congresspeople that shot their fucking mouth off, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Maybe that might be one of the reasons why in the United States we still have baby showers. I'm pretty sure baby showers are practiced all over the country. Not all over the country, my apologies. All over the world, but it's scary to realize when you think, great, I'm having another child. Hopefully someone will get me enough diapers. Hopefully someone will get me enough clothes. It's sad when it should be a huge celebration for welcoming a life into the world, and it could be for bigger things like a stroller, maybe a bed for the child, maybe some toys. We focus on and worry more about basic necessities like diapers or food for the infant if we can't produce milk. That's horrifying in comparison to some of the other countries in Europe or Japan or any other country that handles it well with socialist healthcare. It's really horrifying. It really is, and honestly, it makes me sick to my stomach to even think about it, but nothing will change for one reason or other. I hate to sound pessimistic like that, but what can I say? I've learned how you play the game, and obviously it is not by appealing to everyone's sympathies or empathies, because they don't see it. Again, I get off topic. So, I once again give my thanks to that troll that lodged his fist firmly into his mouth, whether he was sincere in his incorrect and incorrectly spelled and punctuated post, or if they were a Russian agent trying their best to sow dissent among average Americans. Thanks to you, the conversation is not only open once again, but evolving to include us too. It is time that the conversation extend to trans men and AFAB individuals as well. No, we do not identify as female, but we still have a uterus. This means that this debate affects us as well, whether you say so, whether you acknowledge it or not. We still have a uterus. You are still talking about us. We know it. We have just as much of a right to be here to say that our reproductive rights and our bodily autonomy belongs to no bigot, to no cis man that has never once and never owned a uterus, or even a bigoted person, male or female, that says that if we decide to get an abortion because of our economic status, because of if we are ready or not to have a child, because it puts our health or the health of the child at risk. No, it belongs to none of you. Sit down and shut up. I also begin to advocate strongly for not only better education as far as sexual education goes in the country. We need to handle it better too. Okay, so we might be light years away from getting socialized healthcare here in the United States, which I also think is fucking ridiculous for multiple reasons. I don't even need to go over them. But still, to languish and let only those who are privileged enough or those who are well hidden enough to get this done while the rest of us suffer, this cannot stand. We need better education. We need better access. Just because we can't afford to pay it does not mean that we should be denied it. We are human beings. We deserve just as much respect, just as much access, just as much dignity. Okay, I'm getting down from my soapbox for now. This show is part of the Trans Podcaster Visibility Initiative. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/4transmen and give us $5 for things. We will definitely not spend it on Caribou Coffee. Promise. If you'd like to send fan mail or help us line Tux and Toes' litter box with your hate mail, you can message us at 4transmenpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can visit our Facebook page, give us a like, give us a review, or just to see how often I post something. It does happen in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon, it's very exciting. Very exciting. That's all for this week's episode. Join us next week where, well, it's a toss-up, honestly. It could be something even more depressing, or it could be something enlightening. I'm really not too sure yet. Until next time.